Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. Got a great call planned for you. This call is all about you. And so we're going to spend the whole time on the call with you giving an opportunity to share. So let me just give you the framework right now, and then I'll go through our announcements for the call in just a moment. We'll go through several rounds where I will call upon you during the call. And each time I call on you, you have one of four options. Number one, you can ask a question. So you might have a question about something you can ask. Number two, you can share a win or a success. Number three, you can share a tip. And number four, you can pass. And we'll throw another one in there. If you have something you want feedback on online, like a blog post or a lead capture page or something like that, you could also share that as well. And probably the best way to do that would be to post a link out in the Facebook group, and then I can click on that and go out there when I call on you. So when you go out to the Facebook page, you will see a pinned post at the top of the page. Look for the or go to the Sales Technology Training Program page. And by the way, I think I mentioned this last week, but when you go to your when you go to Facebook now, you have access to your favorites in the upper left corner. So if you go to the home page, you hear it where it says, or you'll see where it says favorites. And Facebook just recently implemented a change. I don't know if everybody has this yet. It might not be everybody, but I have it. It gives you now to go in and access, and you can move around your favorites. That used to be one of my big sticking points, is that you had no control over the order. It would just add them in you know, based on when you added them. And so the ones at the top were the first ones you ever added as favorites. But now they're actually, Facebook's giving you a capability to go in and move those around. And so that's super nice. So I'm putting the things that I access more often at the top of my favorites to go out there and get access to it. And, you know, sometimes it's the little things like that that give you a little bit more customization. It takes a little bit of time, but once you do that, then it makes it a lot easier. I've thought about going through and doing them in alphabetical order, for example, too. That might be another way to do it. But at any rate, go find the Sales Technology Program group. And there's a pinned post at the top of the page for today's date, which is April 29th. And you can go ahead and post a message there. And we've already got messages from Roy and from Susan. So thanks for sharing, and or not for sharing, but thanks for posting in the group. And let's set a goal for today of 50 comments, 50 comments in the group. So you guys are going to have to carry this one today because since I'm not necessarily covering any takeaways, although as I do some coaching here, I might share some ideas that you can share as takeaways in the group. So a couple quick announcements here. Number one, you can check your email for a copy of the notes for today's call. And again, the notes just talk about this process of what we're going through on the coaching call today. So I encourage you to go through and just jot down a few things that you would like to talk about. You might write down a few tips. If you have any resources, like a website or a blog or something like that where you found some resources, that would be great. And then you can also ask a question or to share a win by emailing me at rickc@ericloffholm.com. And a great place, again, a great place to be on the Internet during the call is out in the Sales Technology Training Program Facebook group. And if you click on the link in your email and try to go out there and you're not able to access the group, it's probably because we're not friends on Facebook yet. So add me as a friend. Go to facebook.com/RickSCooper and add me as a friend. The link is in the email. And you can also access our recordings online. Just go to salestechsystems.com/stp-archives. And in addition to that, you can also get access to all of the recorded webinars as part of the social media marketing series that I did back in March. And the link to that is salestechsystems.com/tech-membership. Okay, so let's one more quick announcement. I just did a call earlier today on six keys to automate your marketing. If you were not on that call or didn't hear about it and want to get the recording for that, then send me an email and I'll send you the link back for the call. So just email me at rickc@ericloffholm.com and then put six keys to automate your marketing. audio, and I will reply back and send you a link to that once it's available. I should have that up later on tonight. Okay, so let's jump right into our the coaching call for today. So let me review the quick steps here. And the way we're going to do this, I'm going to call on you in the order that you called in. So first up is going to be Alan Murphy. Second will be Roy Rasmussen. Third will be Susan Schlieff. And there's not anybody else on the call yet. So we may have a few others join us while we're on the call. So we'll rotate back and forth between the three of you. And for anybody who's listening on the recording, I'll just let you know that you're going to get more value from participating in these calls live, particularly on this group coaching session. My coaching programs are $500 or $1,000 a month to coach with me individually. And so on a call like this, you're getting access to me coaching you. And so there's a lot of benefit to that. So I encourage you to join me for these calls live to get that additional interaction and coaching. And I will do another one in 12 weeks after we go through the 12 modules. And I'll just remind you real quick, we just wrapped up the 12 modules in the Sales Technology Training Program, and we are beginning the program again next week. And so I just do this program on an ongoing basis. You can plug in. You can access the recordings online. And so this is a great time right now to recommit. So if you've already been through the program once, now would be a great time to recommit to going back through it. Because sometimes when people get into the program, they're going through, they're participating in calls, and then something comes up. There's something that happens in life or in their business that causes a challenge, and then they just kind of disappear for a while. So now's a good time to recommit, to come back in, and as Eric Laughlin would say, stay in the conversation. That means join us for the calls. You're gonna get this information at a different level. Each time you go through the program, you're going to hear ideas that you hadn't heard before. Number one, because I may be sharing some new ideas, but also the first time through, you might not have been ready for it. You might have missed it because you were doing something else or multitasking at the same time. And so each time you go through, you'll be able to benefit from that. So again, your four options when I call upon you are to ask a question, share a win, share a tip, or to pass. So let's dive right in. I'm going to bring Alan on the line. Alan, are you there?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going?
Wonderful.
Excellent. It was great to see you at Eric Laughlin's trainer event over the weekend and meet you in person. I know you've been out to some of our live events in Roseville, so thank you for being a member of the program. And what would you like to share?
Well, I used to wonder what the big thing was about texting, and I felt the same way about Facebook until last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started posting and responding and really getting into it. It's cool.
Nice. Yeah, you had a breakthrough on Facebook. Absolutely. You know, one of the things that's nice, it's like, you know, Facebook is just like going to a networking event and having conversations with people. It's just about jumping in and responding. And sometimes, you know, initially it's, you know, seeking out those conversations. So you've been good at jumping in and finding, you know, conversations online and then posting comments there and creating an interaction back and forth. And then over time, you'll post more information on your page and start creating conversations there as well. So one of the things you might want to experiment with, if you haven't already done so, is start posting some questions. Questions are a great way to stimulate activity and get people engaging with you on your own page. And so there's a benefit of going out and participating on other people's pages, and there's also a benefit of getting people participating on your page as well.
Oh, all right. Think of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So think some of the questions to start with that will stimulate activity are, what is your favorite blank? What is your favorite blank? So like a common one is, what is your favorite color? You know, or what is your favorite musical group? And, you know, just think of something that the majority of your audience would respond to. And then you post that question. The other thing is, when you're posting questions, there's a timing around questions on social media. So a great time to post questions that I found is in the afternoon. So I like posting questions. In fact, let me, it's kind of late right now, but let me just go out and post one real quick here on my page. I talked about music yesterday. Food is another one that I often do. Let's see, what would be a good question? Maybe something around travel. Let's see. Oh, how about this? What was the last, what is it, state park that you visited? And let me post that. What was the last state park? Actually, no, not state park. It would be, I guess, a federal park. What do they call those? Federal what? You know what I'm talking about, like a federal park or where you, like Yellowstone Park or something like that.
National.
Are national parks? Okay, yeah, national park. All right. National park.
National park, federal prison.
Yeah, and then I'll just put like IE Yellowstone. Actually, for us, it would be Yosemite in California. Yosemite.
Yeah.
Yosemite Park. All right. All right, I'm going to post that, and I'll see if I can create any interaction. So I encourage you to do that as well. You might want to try it while we're on the call today. That way the other folks on the call can jump in and look for that. So great. So I will put you back on mute here. I'll come back to you in a few minutes. All right, so moving on. And actually, just to kind of follow up with a quick point. So on creating interaction with people, as you're getting into posting comments out there and interacting with people, kind of a next step beyond just, you know, creating more interaction on your own page would be posting within Facebook groups. Now, Facebook groups, they're a little bit more tricky. You have to be careful not to spam. And so a great thing to do initially is just do the same thing. Go and like and then comment on what other people are posting in the group. And after you've, you know, interacted a couple times within a group, then you can start thinking about, well, what could I post to this group that would add value? Now, a good idea would be to check to see if there are any rules in place related to a group. There might be a description page or something where there's a list of rules. So make sure you check that first and just see what other people are posting. I mean, sometimes people will break the rules. Not every group is so well managed. Some are kind of like a free-for-all. Others are very strictly managed, and if there's a problem post, then they will just go in and delete it. So you can kind of get a sense based on what people are posting about how strict certain groups are. But in general, don't promote your business. You might be able to share some resources. Some people don't even like you posting quotes in groups. It's crazy. I mean, it's like at a certain point, you know, what are you supposed to post? But generally, just think about the topic or the theme for the group and then think of a way to add value and just kind of model what other people are doing. All right, so let me bring Roy onto the line. Roy, are you there?
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
I'm doing great. So what do you have to share?
I think I want to ask you a question, which is, what are your favorite WordPress themes?
You know, the one that I use primarily is Graphene.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really simple theme. It's pretty flexible in terms of what it can do, but not too flexible. Some of the other ones that I've heard that people use are, I think Socrates is one, and trying to think if there are any others. I think there's one other, but it's escaping my memory at the moment. But
this maybe that you're thinking of?
What is it?
Before Socrates, a lot of people were using Thesis.
Thesis, that could be one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think... you know, you want something that gives you the ability to obviously adjust how many columns you have, to insert a header image. One of the things about Graphene, it has a fixed header image size. So you can't really make it bigger, you know, or longer or anything like that. So some of the other themes give you more flexibility to adjust the sizing on that as far as putting a header up. But, you know, a more complicated theme, it does take longer to figure out. Think of a theme as kind of being a almost like a software program in and of itself. It allows you to go in and customize it. Theme in WordPress is also responsible for, the look and feel of the site. And so you want something that reflects, your business well. And, so it depends on, what you're offering. And it also depends on if you're going to be creating multiple sites. You know, sometimes... if you you know, are wanting to create, you know, a couple quick sites, you know, having a similar theme can work well, because once you learn it, then you can make use of it on multiple sites.
Mm-hmm. How many sites do you run?
Well, you know, I've got a couple primary sites. I have my social media outcomes. I have SalesTechSystems.com. I have YourSuccessAndWealth.com. And then I've also launched sites for clients. And then I manage a lot of sites for Eric Lofholm. And so, I don't know, all told, you know, everything added up, there's probably over 20, 25 different websites.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
I think I have about 12 myself, but they're not centralized anywhere. So if I want to update them, I literally hunt them down, and that's a bit of a pain.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Was Optimized Press maybe the other ones you were thinking of?
Well, Optimized Press is a theme, although the new version of it can be used as installed either as a theme or as a plugin, which gives some more capability. In fact, I have one client who wants to install it as a plugin right now, so I have to experiment with that and make use of it.
Oh, I didn't know it was a plugin, though. That's interesting.
Yeah, Optimized Press 2.0, you do have the option to install it as a plugin. So I should be able to report back over the next couple of weeks how that goes and any feedback around it.
I'd like to hear that. Mm-hmm. Out of the themes that you mentioned, like, which ones are responsive themes?
Oh, good question. I don't think Graphene is. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the others. Yeah. You want to explain for a moment what responsive is?
For anybody who doesn't know, responsive means that the theme will gather information from the user to see what type of screen and browser settings they have. So if you're using it on a small mobile device, for instance, versus a desktop, it will display differently for the user, even though it's the same site. And this is like a newer requirement for web design, so like some older sites, for instance, will not show up well on a very small mobile device screen. So web design is moving towards responsive themes now, and what that means for people like me who have like older websites is that, you know, we're kind of in the process of revamping everything to make it look pretty on smartphones and everything.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
So I'm kind of hunting for themes that fit that, and I was curious what your experience with that is.
Right. Yeah, no, you know, it's interesting. As I'm using a mobile device more now, I'm starting to see the differences between bringing up a website that's mobile optimized and one that's not. And so, you know, I can see that more and more that's going to be more of a need, because otherwise you have to you got to scroll and tweak it. And I've just been out to some sites that are mobile optimized, and, you know, they've got, you know, nice little buttons that you can click on that bring things up. It's, you know, it pops faster. And so I think there's some benefit to having a mobile optimized site from that standpoint, because a lot more people are on the go these days. Mm-hmm. And so they're checking email, they're clicking on links, and it's taking them out to the mobile device, and that's how they're accessing it a lot of the time.
And the other part of that is in addition to the device itself, there's the different browsers people are using, and that can look different. Like I've had on the same desktop screen where I looked at something on Firefox and Internet Explorer, and it looked totally different. And somebody was calling me and telling me, you know, there's this problem with the site. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I can't see it. It looks fine on my screen. And then I finally figured out to look on a different browser. I was like, oh, now I see what you're talking about.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay, well, yeah, that would be something for the next round of classes that I would be interested in hearing you cover. So,
okay.
Thanks for the info on the different themes, and I will check out that plugin. That is good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. All right, I'm going to make a note here, responsive themes for SDP. All right, we'll talk about WordPress and mobile sites. All right, good. So let me go ahead and mute the line. And next up is going to be Susan. So let me unmute your line, Susan. Susan, are you there?
I'm here.
Excellent. Happy birthday again. And feel free to share, what would you like to share?
I have a quick question first. When you're talking about favorites, are you talking about the groups under the favorite groups? in Facebook?
Well, in Facebook, when you click on the home page, in the upper left-hand corner, let's see. You know what? Interesting. They've even taken the word off of there. They used to have the word favorites up in the upper left-hand corner. I'm not even seeing that anymore. But essentially, basically, there's news feed, messages, events, photos, browse, and then below that, then should be your favorites. And so you can add things into your favorites by scrolling down, for instance, to a group, and then to the left of it. Like I've got one right here that I'm going to add, and I'm going to click on. So when you hover over it, it will bring up a little gearbox. It used to be a pencil. Now they put a little gear, like a little circle with ridges. And if you click on that, it will say add to favorites. And then you can click that now, and it will add it to your favorites in the upper left corner. That favorite screen will show up on the home page, and it will also show up, like, if you click on a group, it will that the favorites will still stay on the left-hand side there. So you can still navigate from one group to another quickly. And you can add pages to your favorites, and you can also add groups to your favorites.
Yeah, I don't remember ever noticing that before. I mean, the layout has changed in Facebook quite a bit recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it could be that you've never added anything to favorites. I have probably about 25 different favorites. I have all of my own groups and then a few other groups that I'm part of listed on there, plus a couple of my Facebook pages. And it just it makes it easier because here's the thing. The challenge is, like, I'm in over 150 different groups, many of which I either have or I have joined or people have added me to. And so I need a quick way to sort through all of that to get to the groups that I want. And so by having favorites, I have a short list, basically, of the ones that I want to go to on a regular basis, and then I can go through and just quickly click on one of those and go visit it.
Yeah.
And the big change recently is that they've now allowed you to sort that list. It used to be you had no control over the order of those favorites, and now you can go in, you can go into edit, and then you can go in and move them around, which is extremely nice. I mean, I probably will end up probably putting it alphabetically to make it easier to find. I just kind of put my most important ones at the top right now, but I'll probably start sorting a little bit more as time goes on.
So when I edit any single one of those, then it lets me...
Yeah, if you go up to the favorites and then click on the gearbox, it will say rearrange. So this is in the favorites section up top. You click on the little gear symbol, it says rearrange, and then you can go in and move them around.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a bunch of stuff up there, but I didn't put it up there. So Facebook must be automatically putting it in there based on...
They might have added some favorites automatically, yeah.
Each group that goes to often.
But yeah, so you can add more to that list. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and some of them I don't use that often, so I probably will take some of those out.
You can take them out too. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's cool. I never knew that.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about, like, for the groups, it has, like, about 8 groups that it shows on the main screen, and then the rest I have to click the More button. So do you know if there's a way that I can get other groups to show on the main page? Or is that where I would just have to put them in the favorites then, I guess?
Yeah, you just have to put them in the favorites. Mm-hmm.
How does it determine which ones are showing up under groups and which ones I have to click more to get to the bigger list?
The ones that usually show up there are, well, that's a good question, because the ones I'm seeing are ones I hardly ever visit. So I don't know. That could just be random.
Some of them are ones I use pretty frequently, but some of them are not. They're ones I hardly ever go to.
Yeah.
Some of the ones I use the most are on the separate screen. So.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Interesting.
All right. Well, that turned out to be not a quick question, so I guess...
No, that's okay. Did you have another point?
I was just going to ask about asking questions on Facebook. I know that's something that I have tried, and I just get frustrated with it because I just don't seem to get anybody to answer.
Are you doing it on your personal page or your business page?
On my personal page.
Interesting.
Because hardly anybody interacts with my business page, so I figured
I'd
start personal one.
Let's see. Let me go out. Let's see. So you're Central Time. So if you posted, say, at 2 o'clock Central, that's noon Pacific.
A few minutes ago. But see, part of what's happening with my posts is, like, if I post something on my page, and then I share it to my, I have it automatically set up to share to my personal profile.
Right.
So what I used to be able to do is then I'd go find it in my personal profile right away and then share it from there. So that way it would show that it was coming from PowerPoint Queen. I figured that was a way to, you know, get people to see the connection. But
yeah, that's a good strategy for, like, sharing a visual.
Well, what happens now is often by the time I even switch from my page back over to my personal profile, I can't find it. Facebook has, like, totally disappeared it because they don't think it's important, you know. And it's just gotten really more and more frustrating in the last couple months. So, you know.
You mean when you are, so are you doing this from a desktop or a laptop?
No, from my desktop, yeah.
Okay, from your desktop, and then you're going to your Facebook page, your business page, and then looking for the post, and you can't find it?
No, the other way around. I'll post it on my business page.
Right.
And then I switch back to my personal profile, and it should show up in the home news stream or news feed, and I can't find it.
Well, don't go look to the news feed. Go to your business page and locate it there, and then click on the share button.
Yeah, I shouldn't have to do, well, at least in the past I didn't have to do that. But now that's what I need to do, because it's...
Yeah, your own posts are going to disappear quickly, you know, unless they have immediate interaction. And so, yeah, I would just recommend as a habit going to the business page, locating your, you know, the post you want to share, and then just clicking on the share button and sharing it over to your personal page. In fact, you know, if to get a little bit more interaction, I would do two things. One, and I don't usually recommend this, but, you know, just to stimulate some activity, like your own post. In fact, if you're posting to your business page, remember that you can interact with both your page itself and yourself personally. So if you had one you really wanted to start something on, then I would like it as your page. I would add a comment as the page. Then I would switch over to comment as yourself, and I would like it, and then I would add a comment. And then I would switch back to the page and then just click share, and then share it to your personal page. And it'll share it as yourself, actually, to your personal page, and then add it there. And then worst case, you know, if you really want to stimulate some activity, you can always boost the post, too, on top of that. If you have something that costs money, but, you know, if you have something that's a promotion, something you want to get out there widely, or even just sharing a video, then that might be another option.
Right.
Looking
into, but I'm starting to read that Facebook is even going to start limiting the ads, you know, and raising the prices and everything. And I'm like, for somebody who doesn't already have 4,000 fans, how am to build any engagement. They're just making it harder and harder to do it. So.
I know. One comment on the question you posted. You put a question up there 13 minutes ago. Is it spring yet? What's the weather like where you are? On questions, I don't recommend putting images. When people see an image, they automatically think, oh, that's pretty, and they hit the like, but they don't comment, even if you have a question. Yeah. You're much more likely to drive engagement with a question with no visual.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's just people are trained that way. When they see a picture, they just think, oh, that's, you know, that's pretty, I'll just like it. But they're less likely to comment. You'll get more interaction. At least I've found that in my experience. The ones where I don't put a visual and I just have a question, I get a lot more responses. The other key with questions, by the way, is to interact with people. So, like, I'm going out to mine. I've only gotten one person. The national park question hasn't really caught fire yet. So I'm going to respond back and just – I'm going to say, hi, Jim. And this is referring to Jim Hildreth. I'll say, hi, Jim. That was probably the last park I visited also. And so I'm going to post that in response, and I'm going to say anyone else. And so sometimes you just kind of have to jump in and stimulate activity. The, you know, the way Facebook works, the more comments you have, whether it's you or somebody else, then it creates more interaction. So you don't want to just have, you know, have it be you. But the more activity there is around that, then the more likely it is to start creating, more interaction. The other technique that you can use is if it's something that's topical, then you can always ask people to join in. Like, who is I know somebody, Cindy, who is a travel person. So I can say, hi, Cindy.
Oh, and tag specifically.
Yeah, exactly. You travel a lot. What was the last national park you visited? And so you draw people into the conversation because that now sends them a notification. That's a topic that they're interested in. Now they can jump into that. And you're kind of creating them, you know, a window for them, you know, to interact. So that's a technique to use. So there are things that you can do to increase it. And you can't do this for every post, but if you have something that you want to drive engagement around, then there are techniques that you can use to be able to accomplish that. It's just about being kind of be more proactive, be more interactive to get things going.
Yeah, and I do always make sure to tag people when I respond to their, like if somebody does comment on something and they reply to it, then I always make sure to tag them. But I haven't thought about doing it ahead of time. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But I had, let me see what the, I'll take a look down here and see what the last one, I'm starting to get birthday posts, so it's starting to obscure my my stuff here on my page. But I think I just had a good one within the last couple of days where I asked a question. But, yeah, I'm not finding it. There's a lot of stuff on my page right now. So, at any rate, very good. So I will put you back on mute here.
Okay.
And let's see here, one moment. All right, there we go. All right, so let me go ahead and bring Alan back on. Looks like we've got about 25 minutes left, so I think we'll get through at least one more round. Alan, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we're on round two. What would you like to share?
Well, I tried posting a question, and I think that I'm having trouble with my phone or the connection because it's not listing things.
Oh, really?
Things aren't showing up.
All right, let me pop out to your page real quick here.
I think it says.
Yeah, the last one I see is where it says, "I love selling magazines for raising funds at school when I was a kid."
Yeah, I think that the post failed a couple of times, so.
Huh. Are you trying it from a mobile device or from your computer?
Yeah, from my cell phone.
Okay. Oh, you know what? While I'm looking at it here, you've got a, you were tagged in a photo. Let me see if I can find this photo. If I look in your photos, I can see it here. It's the old Southwest scam photo. It was a post that went up from Gary Bell on February 19th of 2013, and you were tagged in the photo, and so that contains a virus. If people click on that, then it can infect their system, and so you have to go in and untag yourself from the photo. So what you probably have to do on Facebook, you can go into the activity log, which, let's see, let me pop in here and tell you where it is. They move things around from time to time, so let's see. I think it's under the privacy settings. If you up in the upper right corner, there are you have your name, home, then you have the three icons for messages or friends, messages, and notifications, and then there's the privacy shortcuts, and then there's the account settings. If you click on privacy shortcuts, there's three options, and then there's one that says see more settings. And I think that's where it is. Timeline and tagging. Nope, that's not it. Let's see. Where is activity log? No, it's under the other one. It's under settings. So it's a little drop-down arrow on the top right. If you look there, there's a couple different sections, and one of them says activity log. If you click on that, that will bring up your activity log. And let me see if you can navigate, how you can navigate through it. I don't know if you can jump to a particular month. Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't look like that. I think you have to scroll down, which would be a real pain for most people with a lot of posts. Yeah, it looks like you just have to scroll down all the way through it. And I don't think you can just find the photo and go directly to that. I think you have to find it in there. You know what you could do? I wonder if you could edit it through the photos. Let me see if you can go in through photos to access it. But that's a good topic, because sometimes people – let me mention one thing. You can set your Facebook profile up to where if somebody posts a photo and then tags you in it, that it requires approval before it goes onto your timeline. That's called the timeline review. So you can set your account to be able to do that, and that's beneficial. All right, so I'm on my page. Let me look for photos and find a photo where I've been tagged in and see if it gives me an option to untag myself. Let's see. Here we go. Yeah, there's one that says my bucket list. Jack Zurich. And let's see. It says photos of me, and I'm hovering over it. Ah, I do see my name there. And the question is how to untag myself. Let me see if it's under options. Report, remove tag. Yeah. So on the photo page, if you are tagged in a photo, in the lower section below the photo, there's a couple options. Tag photo, options, share, and send. If you click on the options button, then it gives you a list of options. One of those options, it says report/remove tag. And if you do that, I'm not going to do it for this one, but if you did that, it should take you off of the tag for the photo. And so the benefit of that is it would then remove itself from the or remove the photo from your timeline. So it won't show up in your pictures. It won't show up on your timeline. So that's kind of a protecting your, you know, privacy slash, you know, protecting your friends type of activity there. All right. Anything else before we move on?
Not right now.
Okay, perfect. All right. So let me go ahead and mute your line. You're welcome. And let me go back. Let me bring Roy back on. Are you there, Roy?
Hey, Rick. I am here.
Sweet.
Let's see. Okay. Another question I have is I've seen some sites where people have their Facebook page integrated with the site so that comments on one will show up on the other. And I'm wondering if you have ever tried that and if you have any thoughts on the pros and cons of doing that versus having a forum attached to a site, which is something that I've done, where you have like a forum plugin that lets you put a forum on the site versus having it on Facebook.
Good question. Well, so first of all, one of the options of integrating your Facebook page into your website or blog is if you're using a WordPress site, you can add a plugin. So one of the options to look for, if you go search for plugins, you can search for Facebook Like Box. And there are a number of different ones out there. And some of them come with an option where it will show you not only typically what it'll do is it'll have a button where people can click and like your page. So they don't even have to go to your Facebook page. They can do it from your website. That's nice. It will also show you a series of thumbnail images from people who will have liked your page. And it's even smart enough to show people that have friends in common. So it'll show them the people they know that have liked your page. So they go, oh, there's Joe. I know Joe. And Joe has liked this page, so I must want to like it too. And they click on the button. And then the other option is that you can have it show some of the most recent posts from the page. And so it will, you know, basically bring over those posts and list that through the plugin onto the page so that people can see those posts. And then, you know, I think that you can click on the posts and show that. I typically don't integrate that on the page. I just like having the like box and then the pictures of the people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't typically add, usually, and mainly because I have other things on my page, so I have other things I want them to pay attention to. You know, one of the rules of thumb is we're trying to get people off of the social networks and onto our site, so we don't want to necessarily give them too many more options to go back out to social media, although I do include my different social media links on my site, because for a lot of people, that might be their first connection with me, and so I do want to get them connected to social media. The other point that I'll mention in relation to this is a little bit different from what you asked, but there is an option to embed pages and content into Facebook. And there are tools that you can use where you can use a website where you can create and host content, and then you integrate that website into Facebook. And then you can add buttons onto your Facebook page where people can click, or, for instance, you could create an opt-in page and have that within Facebook. And the benefit of that is that, for instance, you could run a Facebook ad and you could promote a Facebook page that has your opt-in offer. And the people click, and so instead of going to your website external to Facebook, they click and they stay within the Facebook site, and then they can click there. Which also, by the way, if you're on a mobile device, that can work better because then they don't have to go out to out to a browser to access it. They're just doing it right within Facebook. So that's another option as well. And there are tools that will allow you to do that. And then there are advanced techniques where you create it within WordPress and then kind of rehost it through Facebook. In a lot of cases, you know, if you want to do those strategies, if you're tech savvy, you can probably figure it out. If not, you know, it might be worth hiring somebody to do it for you.
Yeah, I probably figure it out. Given enough time, kind of haven't really done much with it yet, though. I mean, I've seen some of the scripts that people use for that. And, you know, like just today, for instance, I was on Facebook and I saw a news item about Major League Baseball that interested me, and I clicked it. And it looked to me like they were pulling a post from the MLB blog on Facebook and putting – it wasn't the whole – article, though. It was like the header item was on Facebook.
Okay.
And if you click there, it took you over to the Major League Baseball site for the full article. So that's, I'm guessing that must be a script that they're running on their Facebook page in the background that takes you over.
Is it on the news feed or the timeline of the Facebook page, or is it on a separate page?
I'm trying to remember for sure whether it was in my news feed or if I saw it in the sidebar on just news items. I think I might have seen it on the sidebar, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But I do see that.
Okay.
I have seen that in my news feed, though. Like, I remember a National Geographic article because I like the National Geographic page, and there was a news feed that did that where it puts something that's posted on the National Geographic site, but it shows up in my news feed as a clickable. It was either an excerpt or the full article. I'm not sure.
Right.
Is that the type of thing that you were talking about, or were you talking about something different than that?
I think something a little bit different. Yeah, you can. In fact, I'll see if I can find it somewhere. Let me make a note. I found a great site that talked about how to integrate, you know, like a WordPress into a Facebook page. Let me just make a quick note. It might have been on the Copy Blogger site. Let's see. So locate resource teaching how to integrate WordPress and Facebook page. Yeah, I think I might have saved it maybe over in Evernote. I'll see if I can do a quick search as we're talking, but I'll continue on here in a moment. So, gosh, I haven't logged in my Evernote account in a long time. Let's see. I save most of my resources in Google Docs these days, but I've heard the Evernote app is good for the mobile device, so I might eventually set that up to get access to those resources that way as well. The thing I don't like about Evernote is if you're on a desktop computer, oftentimes it scrolls off screen and you can't read what's off page, which seems like it would be an easy fix. But
yeah,
let's see. So that would be, let me just type in Facebook page and see if I can find anything.
What do you use for a browser?
I use Firefox and Google Chrome.
Okay.
As my primary browsers.
And does Evernote give you a problem with both of those for scrolling off the page?
I think it's been primarily Firefox. And as I'm scrolling down right now, it looks okay. Maybe they fixed it. Been a while since I've been in here. Facebook pages, maybe this is it here. Let me see. Nope. I don't see it here. I might have to dig a little bit deeper. So, all right. Well, at any rate, that's something to look into, and I think the big idea there is if you plan on doing advertising, then I think there's some justification for considering creating some pages within your Facebook page that you would drive to. I think, you know, where you're going to be investing dollars, it's probably a better investment to drive to an internal page within Facebook rather than driving to an external page on a website. Again, it should be optimized for mobile, and of course you always want to test that out and make sure, and then from there, you know, then you can drive traffic to it. And I haven't done Facebook ads in a while. I might try some coming up this summer for actually once I get my automated sales funnel in place. So I'll talk about that here in a moment. I'm checking through. Yeah, I just checked my resources for CopyBlogger, and I'm not seeing a link to it either. So I'll have to get back into the mindset of what I was looking for at the time and see if I can find it somewhere. So anything else before I move on?
No, I was just going to mention, you know, the first time I saw people doing that kind of integration, I think was a few years back, and it was about the time Kajabi was first launched, and Andy Jenkins was running his prototype for his video program, and it was like a membership site, and what he had was people could post on the membership site, but it was linked to their Facebook. And I think he was using it for SEO because I think he was trying to get SEO juice from the Facebook posts. Mm. But this was before some of Google's updates on their SEO rules, so I don't know if that is still a viable strategy. But that was interesting.
Yeah.
So that was the first time I saw that people doing that, though.
Okay.
I have some other questions, but I'll let somebody else try to ask something first. So.
Okay, perfect. All right, thanks, Roy. All right, so we're going to move on to Susan. Let me bring Susan back on the line. Susan, are you there?
I'm here.
Excellent. So what would you like to share?
First, I just want to add something to what you said to Roy about driving the ads, driving to a Facebook page rather than a website.
Mm-hmm.
I have
heard
that in some of the training I took, too, that is you'll get cheaper ad prices doing it that way.
Mm.
Because then you're staying on Facebook, you know.
Right.
But I also heard the recommendation is to send people to a specific page, not necessarily to your main business.
Yeah.
Set up
mm-hmm.
an app, you know, with an additional page that they're going to, that it's easier to track that way for one thing, and then they don't get overwhelmed with all the stuff you have on your page. You know, you're sending them to one specific offer.
Right. Yes.
The question I have, I guess, is if I want to set up a a document that I want people to be able to download.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that through Amazon S3, but is there an easier way to do that? I'm not concerned about security on it or anything like that. So I think somebody had showed me once how to do that on my webpage without going through Amazon, but I can't remember.
Yeah, what is the file?
I'll probably put it in a PDF form.
Okay, PDF, perfect. So here's the strategy for adding a document to the page. Number one, when you go into WordPress, click on Media. And then once you're there, then you click on Add Media. And then you click Upload, and then you upload the PDF file. And a couple tips on uploading files to your site. I prefer all files. Number one, you use all lowercase, and you put dashes between each one of the words. That helps in terms of search engine optimization, because then each little file that gets uploaded to the site is using individual words, and so they pay attention to you know all the structure of the site and how the files are structured and keywords that they can reference there for sorting and storing.
So if it's a multi-word keyword phrase, put down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I always I'll just give you an example. The call that I did earlier today was 6 keys to automate your marketing. So I recorded the call. I downloaded it as an MP3 file. I called it 6 keys to automate your marketing, all lowercase and with dashes between each one of the words. And then I'm uploading it. In this case, I'm uploading it to Amazon, but I could be uploading it to my site. And kind of a general rule of thumb is, files are okay to upload to your site as long as it doesn't become an issue with too much usage of the data. Like if you're just putting it up there for download, that should be okay. If you're streaming from your site and you're hosting the file on your site, like you wouldn't want to do it with a video. Video sucks up a lot of bandwidth, and there's a risk that if you have too much of that going on your site that your hosting service, Bluehost, GoDaddy, HostGator will throttle you back. And that's not a good thing. But like a PDF file is no big deal, so you just upload it to Media. And then what you do then is you there's a place there where it'll have the file URL. And so while you're still in Media on that particular file, then you copy that URL. And one extra step I do is when you upload that file, it will bring the title of the file in as the name in all lowercase with dashes. And so then I kind of reverse it and I retype it, using capital letters for the beginning of each word and then spaces, instead of dashes. And so I rename the file, I copy the URL, then you go to the web page where you want to add it, and then you can do two things to reference the file on the page in order to get people to download it. One, you could add a phrase, so you could type something like, right click here to download the file. And then once you type that text in, you would highlight that phrase, and then in the toolbar menu up top above the post in WordPress, there's a little link button which looks like a sideways 8 or like the infinity symbol. You click on that, and then you paste in the URL, and that will hyperlink it. So that's one option. Another option is you could go find a royalty-free image of a PDF file download image. And so there are different ones that are out there on the internet. And so you download that, and then you can upload it to Media. And of course, once you add that image up there, then you can reuse it. It's in your media library. And then so once you're in there, you click on the Add Media button, which will be in the upper left corner above the post section, and then select that, and then find the image and insert it. And then once the image is inserted in, and I think while you have the image up, it will allow you to drop the file URL in. And you paste it in and then save that and save the whole page. And then it's done. And then just go to the page and then test it. And one thing about PDF files, if it's directly on the page, if people right click, they can download it. But also if they just click it, it should open up within their browser.
Right.
In most cases, it will open up within the browser so people can read it right there. And then within the within Adobe in the browser, then there's even an option there where they can download it from there as well.
Save it from there, right. So
yeah.
And the second way you're describing then, you're using the image as
right.
the instead of the phrase.
And instead of the text, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Hyperlinking the image instead
right.
of the text. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you add the hyperlink to the image, though?
Well, you can either do it as you're adding the image, or once the image is added, you click on the image. And by the way, let's see. There's two modes of editing within WordPress. There's the visual mode and the HTML mode. And so if you're in the visual mode, you would click on the image, and in the upper left corner, you have two options. One is to delete, and then one is to edit. If you click on the one for edit, and there are like little pictures there, then it will bring up the window, and then you find the box in there where it has the URL, and then you copy and paste the link in there. And then you save that, and then you save the page. And, you know, just a general rule of thumb, when you're editing WordPress pages, I always, before I save, I always switch into HTML mode. And the reason is if you do have images on a WordPress page and you save while you're in visual mode, sometimes the images jump around, and sometimes text actually or code disappears from the page. I don't know why it happens, but certain things will just kind of disappear. So I always make sure I switch back into HTML mode, and then I save or update the document there.
Okay. One other thing that wasn't quite clear to me, you were talking about renaming the file.
Yeah, you rename the title of the file. And where this shows up is if somebody is looking at that image on the page and they hover over the image, a little title will appear. It's like a little hover over text will appear over the image. And so if you just upload the file and you leave it in its default form, it's going to have all the words in lowercase with dashes.
Okay.
And so you can rename the title of that post. And so the best way to do it is actually when you first upload that image, then change it there. And that way, anytime you insert that image again in the future, it will carry that forward.
Okay, so it's not the file name. Is that the alt tag that's for the images?
Good question. I don't have WordPress open up right now, but usually it'll already be pre-filled based on the whatever was the name of the file that you uploaded. So. Yeah, I think there are multiple options. Like the caption would be a little bit different. I think the caption on an image is something like it'll put a little box around it and it will have words below it. And so that's another option you can use. That's good, like if you want to insert your picture in and you want to have your name under it, then you could use that. But, yeah, just kind of experiment with the different options.
It's one of those. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Right. You're welcome. All right, let me go ahead and mute the call back out. So we are at the top of the hour. Wow, we really kind of dove deep, and we got through two rounds on the call today. If we had more folks on the call, I would have, you know, been briefer in getting through, but I think you got some good questions answered. And the next time around, I also want to encourage you to share your successes. And also want to encourage you, one of the things I'll ask for everyone live on the call with me today, and if you're listening in, we'd love to have a testimonial for the Sales Technology Training Program. So if you'd like to send me a testimonial, number one, if you want to just commit to it, you could email me at rickc@ericlaufholm.com and say, hey, I'd love to give a testimonial. Or if you're in the Facebook group right now, just post a message out there and say, yes, I will provide a testimonial for the Sales Technology Training Program, and then I'll follow up with you. And then if you want to just send it directly, then just write up maybe two paragraphs in a testimonial and email it to me at rickc@ericlaufholm.com. Would love to have those, and I will also add those out onto the registration page when people order. All right, well, that is going to wrap up our call for today. So thanks for joining me. Next week we begin Module 1, so join me for that. The call-in information is the same each week, so join me there. Have a great week, and God bless.